Okay, why don't you start off telling me about where you were born in the Ukraine and what it was like there?
Well, I was born in the Ukraine, and I can only start telling you what it's like, what it was like when I was 4 or 5 years old, because after that time I did not, but I was born in the Ukraine. But when I finally found out that I was born there, I didn't know the difference between the Ukraine or any other part of Russia.
What was the country like? What did it look like?
Well, it was a lot of mountains. And it had the Dniester River, that's well known now. Dniester River. And it was wide enough so that boats used to carry merchandise from one city to another over there. And also we used to swim a lot there. That was our swimming place. And people used to swim over from one end to the other. But I was just watching them and admiring them at the time. Well, as I grew older,
grandparents or your mother and father grow up in the same area?
Yes, about not in St. City, but in a smaller town. I should have told you that. Am I connected now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't question me where my parents were born. You asked me if I was born in the Ukraine, and
yes.
I was. But they come from the Ukraine, just in smaller places, smaller towns.
Tell me what you remember about your grandparents.
I remember that they were so poor that you can't just imagine anybody poorer here in the United States. But in spite of that, if I may add, when my mother was baking that bread that we were referring to before, that usually was done before Sabbath, so it wasn't done on a Friday. And no matter how cold it was, above zero weather, like 10, 15 degrees above zero weather, and she used to bake it early in the morning, she thought that she had the day for herself, doing other things. So she wouldn't feed us anything before we take the bread that was done to my grandfather and grandmother, so that they had bread. And they'd make their own tea. Tea was just water and tea like this tea, only it wasn't packaged. There was a big thing, bulk.
Did you buy it in tins or did it come in bags?
The fancy people bought it in tins. And the others bought it like in a bag, not just individual bags, but a big bag, and you grabbed some of the spoon out of the bag. See, that was a cheaper way.
Did only the women make bread, or did everyone know how to make bread? The men,
No, the men didn't have anything to do with anything in the kitchen. They wouldn't, how can you make something like that?
Well, what
that time?
If there weren't there any unmarried men, any widowers or any bachelors?
Well, if they had a mother, a father, also there was some bread for sale on the street, but very little of it. It's only for those people that couldn't do it themselves that bought it from them.
What about your other side on your grandparents, your other set of grandparents?
The other side, I don't even remember my grandfather. I just know of him. And my grandmother died when I was very young. I can tell you very little about that. All I can tell you, could tell you then, you know, the date of our rabbinical family, and that's on my mother's side.
On your father's side, the grandparents who were alive and that you brought the bread to,
yes.
Did you spend any other time with them, or did you only see them to bring
food? They used to come in. Usually we brought stuff. There was no reason for us to go there. It was so unpleasant. It was cold. It was very freezing cold in the winter time because there was no stove, there was no heat. And I don't think we were interested in it. These are neighbors. We saw them every day, like on the street, usually. But we didn't go visiting like you do here. You go to see your grandmother. Because the circumstances are different, the situation is different.
Did most families have their grandparents live in another household, or were there a lot of families where the grandparents and the mothers and the fathers and the children all lived together?
Most of it. The fathers and mothers and the children lived together, and the oldest had the most say about what things has to be done in the house or the way they should be done, unlike here.
Why wasn't that so with your grandparents? How come they didn't live with you?
Oh, they were my father's parents. And my father was dead already at the time. And we were poor ourselves. And besides, he was, so to speak, a Jewish teacher. Even when he was sick in bed, I don't know what he died of, maybe cancer. He still had some kids come in and be taught by him in Yiddish. So they were on their own. But I don't know of the others whether they lived with my parents. I don't think so, because I would have known, although I was a kid. But mostly all of them lived with their children till they died.
Do you know much about your father or your mother's childhood?
My father, I told you, died of sickness.
Typhus?
Typhus, that's right. And so I was so young, I don't know anything. But I just knew his father. He was my grandfather.
Well, your father had a house that your mother inherited.
Yes, correct.
How did he manage to have a house?
Well, because he was previously married. She was much older than my mother was. And that was a merit, you know, for a woman to marry somebody older than she was, than the girl was. And then by that time he already, I suppose, accumulated some money to buy a house that wasn't a fancy house, but it was a house to live in.
What did he do for a living?
He was selling, I told you, and I forgot the name again, prayer shows.
Towers.
Yeah, you remember that. That's correct. And books, Yiddish books.
Praying books. Would he go door to door like a salesman?
No.
Or?
He'd come to a small town. See, as I said before, ours was a little bigger, and he used to go to small towns where nothing could be reached by mail. So he'd bring these books, these prayers, and the talis, as you say, and talis is the plural. He used to bring them and come to a synagogue. See, every city had a synagogue. No matter how small it was, there was a synagogue. It was also like a social place. And then they found out that here at the land where the talis is there in the books, Yiddish prayers, and they used to come and dine there. He didn't have to go to Mass there.
Did he travel by train or by horse? How did he move around?
By train.
Train.
Yeah.
And when he died, your mother took over the business?
Yeah, she took over the business.
How did she live as a child?
Let's see. I think I know more about that. Well, she was from a rabbinical family, and rabbinical people live a little better than normal, because they're supported practically by society, by the people who believe in religion.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't required much, but that's what they live by.
Did she ever tell you stories about what it was like growing up for her?
Yeah, I know that she and my cousin were in that small town. Was considered the most beautiful two girls. And I'll show you a picture and you'll believe it that I'm telling you. Not because it was my mother, but you'll see from the picture. that she must have been a beautiful person. And their life was so limited. They go to shul, you know what shul is, synagogue. And she was a self-made person, like, because she was interested in an education that she couldn't get it in small places. There's just nothing of the kind. So she learned to read the real world in Yiddish. See, because of the praying that they had to do. That's all in Yiddish or Hebrew. And these things she knew, and a little bit of Russian that she picked up, you know, when you go shopping on the markets and the peasants who bring out stuff, used to bring out stuff. When you say peasants, I don't ask you, is that the relative?
No.
Because in the rest they say, like if they say, you're a peasant, it means that you are ignorant. But that isn't the way I want to express it. They used to go out shopping, and the peasants would bring out apples, pears, so that they had on the, not potatoes, mostly onions, to just make.
What was the shopping day like? What happened when you went shopping? What was the environment?
Most of it was little stores, and those were run by Jewish people. Just like you hear, I think, most of them are. See, I think I told you before, and I'll tell you now, because Jewish people couldn't be farmers. They were not allowed to be farmers, like your uncle. So they had to do something else instead, and they started merchandising. So maybe for $5 they fix up five rubles, Russian rubles, they fix up a store with a few potatoes and salt and sugar, only the mere necessities of life. And it makes just a few dollars a week, maybe a little bit.
Was there a set price for what you bought, or did you bargain?
No, well, you usually bargain, but in this city, in those small towns, everyone knew everyone else. And I don't think there was competition, because there was maybe one store and all, but still they didn't take advantage like they would here in a small store, in a small town, if there was one store. No, they didn't, this wasn't developed yet. Trying to get rich on that, just to make a living. No matter where you went, it was practically the same price.
Did your mother have a lot of suitors because she was so pretty because she came from a good family?
But she was so young when she got married. And you were not supposed to meet with anybody. You know, you girls weren't going out to meet anybody. They, when it turned dark, she had to be in the house. And so that nothing better still.
At a certain point, did you just stop, in her life, did you just stop playing with boys and you never saw them until you became married? And were you that cloistered?
A little kid. See, when I went to Cheder, you know, you never heard the word Cheder. I don't know if I use it. It's a Yiddish school, like. It's run by one person who knows Yiddish. And he teaches, if you pay him maybe $1 a year, then you can come out for half an hour and he would teach you how to read Yiddish and Hebrew. And he may have had during the year maybe 15 or 20 students, if you can call them that, of that sort. And even that's the way he made a living.
And he taught both boys and girls?
Yeah. The girls were not supposed to sit all day, so that they wouldn't mix with the boys. They used to come in and read it too, for maybe half an hour, and then he would do the reading, or he would explain to us what's wrong, and he did wrong. And but the boys stood there from morning to night.
Oh, wow.
And did a little.
How was your mother's marriage arranged to your father? How was a match made?
You know, we had matchmakers. Did you know the song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, matchmakers. See, I told you, she was from a small town. It's bigger than others, the other small town. and so was he. So everybody knew matchmaker went around to look for people like that who wants to get married. And they came across, they knew my mother's family, and they knew his family. So they thought maybe this is it. Maybe they had previous suggestions about marrying somebody else. But this seemed to be a fit person for my mother because he had a home. He also had two children. He had two children, one of whom was there. And he was of a nice family. He was more educated, much more educated than my mother was. As a matter of fact, I didn't mention it to you last time, but he was at war during the war. I think what war it was, I don't even know. But in the army that he was, you know, at 21, he actually got to the army.
Oh, really?
All Jewish and non-Jewish people. And they'd be in the army for 3 years.
Just men?
Yes, just men. Just in case a war would break out. So he was an officer, and that was extraordinary because Jewish people seldom got into any place above. I mean, it would be the lowest that they could put in law, as low as they could put. But he was well read because he had these books I told you about. And he was always interested in reading, so he was very well read in Yiddish. And maybe he wasn't supposed to read the Russian books in Russian. So he was supposed to only read in Yiddish. But he, traveling around, he may have picked up the non-Jewish books.
How long was he in the army? Many years or just a few?
No, he couldn't have been many years because he died too young. I couldn't tell you, but it couldn't have been more than 2-3 years.
Did the matchmaker get paid for making a match?
Oh, sure.
A lot of
maybe,
money?
A lot of maybe 50 cents. Nothing was a lot of money. I'm talking to you about the class of people I am in. I was in.
Well, in terms of that time, was being a matchmaker a lucrative profession compared to others?
It was, let's say, no, a doctor would be, a doctor could make a much better living, or a lawyer could make a much better living. This was they call it lift, let's see if I can translate it in English. It's something in the air. Anybody could be a matchmaker. You didn't have to go to school to be a matchmaker. So you can figure it out yourself that they didn't require any education whatsoever to be a matchmaker. So if that's the case, anybody that he couldn't find anything else to do, he'd become a matchmaker.
Could a man be a matchmaker or just women?
No, it's usually a man. It was usually a man. Women, all women did was that they prepare a meal or they had or to bake the bread, or take care of the children, you know, wash the children. There was a lot of work to do.
Did your mother meet your father before they were married?
Yeah, I think she met. They met once. Usually they weren't, but that was his second, it was supposed to be his second wife, and he had two children, that was something that, but the parents had to okay before they couldn't say no to once the parents okayed it.
What was a marriage ceremony like? What happened at a wedding?
I don't think in their case it was too much. A regular wedding used to last maybe 2 days, 3 days. They'd make a outside day. All the neighbors would get together and dance and celebrate. But in their case, I don't think it wasn't that you see, because if you marry somebody with two children, it's not the same as if two young people would get married.
Did you ever go to a big wedding that lasted a number of days?
Yeah, I was to a few. I was glad that I went to Odessa. When I was 16 or 17 years old, this was a thing of the past. It was close to the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't pay much attention to that. But I remember being invited to the family being invited to that. And I thought it was great. Believe me, you, when you prepare a meal for yourself, someplace in Accra, maybe it's a bigger meal than what they actually offer you at the wedding, but still there was company and everybody was sitting at the table. So it was a ceremony.
What would the bride and groom wear? Did they wear anything special? Oh.
The bride, of a religious like my mother, no matter how beautiful the array was, they covered it and she wore a wig. That was my mother was saying. So that the man wouldn't attract her, that looking at her ears, they may have may think of the wrong thing. You know what I mean? So don't you know that? I didn't make it to you because
they had to
cut their day down and they made panic this wig.
Where did you get a wig?
Well, they were professionals because everybody else used it. That wasn't just for my mother. All Jewish people did.
What did you wear?
What did I wear?
No, what did the bride wear?
Sometimes she wore what her mother wore before when she got married.
What I mean is, or was it sister. White? Did it have to be white?
No. Whatever the rich people had the, I'm talking about people of my extent.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, maybe they'd make a new cotton, something in the summer, or in the winter, maybe a flannel, some flannel, nothing fancy. It was considered fancy. Yeah.
What kind of dances did you dance?
The dances, quadrille, that is known. Have you heard of a quadrille? Quadrille, I think. You find it in the dictionary.
Did you enjoy dancing?
Yeah, the CD, then I got into gymnasium. That was part of the of our education, that we actually learned to dance, too. See, but that was a few years later. There was a big change in the coming of the revolution.
Did your mother have any children before you?
Yeah, I told you about my older sister was killed by Hitler. She and her son was about 30 years old. They got burned in the of one of the others. And she was the eldest. And then I and my sister who lives in Milwaukee. They told me that you spoke to now, etc.
Go ahead, explain who Toby is.
Toby is my sister's brother. That's good.
Let's see. Well, tell me about what some of your earliest memories were when you were a child. What do you remember?
Well, I started getting up. Yeah, I couldn't wait to get up and couldn't wait till I got my bread and tea, hot tea, bread. And then we had to clean up. See, my mother took over from my father, so she had to see that to sell one of those toys or books, and we were the three girls. I had to clean up. My mother was very clean, and we had to clean up the house. And then we'd go out, all kids would go out. The boys would go to Heide, and the girls would remain on the street playing pebbles, and you don't know what pebbles are.
Tell me about pebbles.
Pebbles are the little stones, like like small nuts, like the you play on the ground. I don't know how to explain. You have to catch the more you caught in one move,
What about if it was snowing? What if it was too cold?
Oh, then it was too cold. Then maybe sat in the house, and maybe a neighbor's kids would come in. Wherever the house was warm, we'd be together and play. His pebbles in the house. And then, but then we got to be about 7 or 8 years. We started reading little books, maybe, you know. It was very hard to get books for children, or newspapers. So I must make that statement, that whoever was born in my times it's a miracle that they learn anything, and that's why I'm so ignorant. Because it does so hard to learn. There's nothing to learn from.
Tell me about the house, what it was made of, how many rooms, what did you have in the house?
This house, which belonged to my father first, it was our living room, and it was a dining room, believe it or not, a kitchen, and two bedrooms. But we always used to rent half of it to other people. See, I remember, these people I remember well, because we lived in that house till we started going to the nursery. See, so we lived there for a while. That was in a different, it's a different part of the, I told you that the Dniester divided two different states, see? That's exactly what I'm right. I think I'm right about that. So we moved from one state to the other where the schools were, because our place was, the city was too small, so they didn't have any school anywhere. So we moved to a bigger city, because my older sister got into a school there where Jewish people, only 3% of Jewish people could get in.
What did the kitchen look like? What was in the kitchen?
Oh, the kitchen. You can ask about every room. The kitchen was, it had a stove, a built-in stove, not like the built-in stoves here. It was just a big hall, and it was made out of bricks. So it kept hot. If you heated it up, you could bake the bread in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had probably a small table there that you could put something there on the table. And then it wasn't wooden floors. It was earth, you know, what else do you call it?
Earth, that's fine.
Yeah.
Was there a sink? Oh. Was there running water?
No, but it was always a dish. With water and an empty dish to wash your hands or wash. No, there was no sink. There was no water.
Where did you get water?
From the Dniester. And that wasn't far away. That was maybe half a block away from there. But the water wasn't sanitary, because we were swimming in that thing.
So did you boil it before you used it, or did you just use it the way it was?
No, the way it was.
What about bathing? How did you bathe?
Who says we bathe? In the summertime, we used to bathe in the Dniester. That mm-hmm. was a pleasure, because it was open space. And everybody came, and boys and girls disregard sex. He was close to the boys. He didn't even make a issue out of that. That was accepted from childhood on. And in the winter time, there was a problem. You just heat it up some water in the stove. Wooden, you see, you burn wood.
Mm-hmm.
And you heat it up. They had triangles made out of iron, and you put on the top of that wood. And maybe you come across now someplace on time. And you put a dish with hot water, and then you had a big dish that we could use for washing our faces and rinsing and the other part of the body.
Where did you get the wood?
The wood we used to buy it. We had to eat and heat the place in the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
We were 10 below.
Did you have a fireplace?
They had a lot. No. No, there
you
was a fireplace. We had, no. We had built-in little ovens, they called them. It was squares made out of brick, and it had a chimney. You put in and put on a little kerosene on top of it, and you would, light it, and they'd burn and make you have the place. But that's the lowest degree of science. See, like a lamp, you know, we didn't have electricity or gas. So we used to kerosene lamps.
Was your house made of bricks too?
No, no, it's not bricks, and it's not about wood, it was plaster. See, it was made out of plaster. And that kept it, was supposed to keep it warmer than even brick.
Were there windows in it?
Oh, yeah.
Glass windows?
Glass windows. No, a number of windows. And there was no toilet there. I don't ask you about that.
Okay, go ahead. What did you do when you need to go to the bathroom?
Yeah. But everybody else did. See, not I told you we got out of Blackaway from the Dniester. And the Dniester was, if it went deep in, see, like in our valley, then the water would flow the old city. See, it was mountains around, low mountains. It was elevated, and so that the water couldn't reach the very top. And up there, the people used to go in there. And you should make it told about it. So you weren't embarrassed because you did the same thing. Whatever is accepted, whatever everyone does is accepted to the new thing.
What was in your living room?
The carpet that night next week, yeah. What do you mean, furniture?
Or books or
furniture? Well, the
or
books, those books that we had for sale, we had that in the living room, let's see. One thing, I told you that we rented half of the house, so the living room, we rented out living room and a bedroom,
mm-hmm.
And the kitchen was shared. Between the two families.
Now how many beds did you have for everyone?
For everyone? See, we had three children, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had one bedroom. That would be good for two people. And the other two would sleep on something like this, not that bad. Wooden benches.
What did you use for blankets?
Then, they used to make them real good from feathers.
Mm.
And you covered, that kept it warm. And if they made it thick enough, it was also used as a mattress in bed.
Did your mother make those, or did you buy those?
Well, if you had to see, you had geese to gather feathers from the geese and chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And at night, everybody was sitting at the candle light or lamps and trick. I think there's a word like that. You know, when you get a clean chicken, but that isn't how the chicken is. She has feathers, right?
A pluck.
Pluck, right. That's the word. Pluck. You pluck the and then if you accumulate it enough, you make that cushion there. See, they used to start it out, that was always going down. Because when my girl got married, the parents, they're supposed to supply her with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the boy got married.
But your mother never did?
Yeah, he owned it.
Did
you? Reminded me. Sure, that's what we used to do winter nights. Especially in winter nights. It couldn't go on.
What did you cover the feathers with? What kind of cloth did you have?
Whatever you could get. And they were specialist cloth that wouldn't, see that it was thick enough so that it wouldn't be, it wouldn't come out.
Was it scratchy like sack material, or was it smooth like cotton?
It
or
was
wood?
Smooth but heavy. And then on the top of it, he used a white color. He did use something white that he bought.
Can you remember anything else that you did for your amusement?
You mean this was amusement?
Well, no, not amusement. I'm sorry. No, let's say if you were sitting in the house, what would you talk about while you were making blankets?
We gossip.
About what?
About the neighbors. there's a joke. That was a joke that used to go around and say, get up, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, get up, because the neighbors were gossiping about us, and I started gossiping about us an hour ago. We're too late. But that was true.
Tell me about this. These two boys that lived in your house, that you rented the house to, because you seem to think
three
a great deal of them.
Three boys. Those boys, I remember, I just remember my own son. Well, he was naturally talented kids. They were much older, maybe 5, 6 years older than we are, 8 years older than we were. And they were well-read. They read a lot. But they didn't have any school. Oh, and then they got a chiddush, what I told you about, that it's Yiddish where you got to read. So they just developed to a point where they could teach classes really. And they taught us how to read, how to write, till we finally got into a regular school. They were regular teachers for us. And they were, I don't think the regular teachers were highly educated. But later on, as we were closing, getting close to the revolutionary time. See, don't forget, the revolution was in 1905, and that already gave a push to development.
Did you ever discuss politics in your house or about the revolution?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know much about the revolution. See, you weren't prepared, you weren't there, you didn't read.
Did you know about the Tsar? Did you ever talk about the Tsar?
Oh, sure. But about the Tsar, he used to say, my mother always used to say, and that was a saying, don't pray for a better Tsar because he'll be worse. See, any Tsar that would come would be worse than the previous one because there wasn't such a thing as a good Tsar.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get newspapers in the town? Did you ever get to see, you know, things that were printed recently?
No, not recently. They would be sent from someplace from the biggest city. By the time it got there, the news were not new.
Well, then how did you get news of what was going on?
Well, it was in the air. It really was in the air. Oh, well, I remember, let's see, when what. I remember that, I remember a time that we were told to hide ourselves because we were Jewish and non-Jewish people started like a pogrom, you know what the Holocaust, against the Jews because, see, that people didn't know what the revolution was really, nobody knew what the revolution was outside of Lenin, and I mean the leaders knew. All the people in the big cities, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
You ask how it spread. See, Moscow knew, and Leningrad knew, and Odessa knew, but I wasn't in Odessa at that time yet. So they would send people there to agitate the people, ignorant people from small towns.
Would they stand out on the street, or would they go into people's homes, or how would they let you know?
If they'd go on the street, they'd be arrested or killed or something for teaching them. But if they had acquaintances, or this one, he knew one person and that person knew somebody else, that doesn't count. That's how it spread. Not by, just by mouth, not by literature.
Tell me about the time you were told to hide. What did you do?
Oh, I remember my mother took us from where we lived to a place, some acquaintance, in a different city, not far, it was not on a main street, it was on a side street.
Mm-hmm.
And she took us there because hoping that nobody will come there. And I remember that today it was one room, and one floor, some oak, not a floor, but the regular ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they spread out something on it, and we slept in that till morning. And then my mother came to see if we were still alive.
Where did she hide?
She had a change. See, we didn't care that my mother was, we just cared. I mean, we didn't we were too young to know what if something happens to her. She was, I think, in the house. But nothing happened to the house and nothing happened to us at that time.
Were there people like policemen in your town?
Yeah, but they were the ones you could trust the least, especially Jewish people.
Were the police ever Jewish, or were they always Gentile?
No, never. A Jew could never be a policeman.
And what did the police do? I mean, what was their daily tasks? What did you see them doing?
They'd arrest if you were drunk. See, a lot of drunkards.
Mm-hmm.
They arrest them and prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were drinking themselves, and they were using prostitutes for themselves too. The police, I'm talking about.
Was there drinking and prostitution in every town?
In the bigger cities, more in the bigger cities, because in the bigger cities nobody knew. Odessa was known for that.
What about the town where you were a child?
No, I didn't know any prostitutes. I wouldn't have known what a prostitute is.
What did people drink?
You mean to get drunk?
Yeah.
Vodka. Have you heard of vodka?
Sure. Where did they make it? Could anyone make it, or was it made in a factory?
No. This Russian vodka was known. I think it was sent from the... I remember. It was sent... I'll tell you how I remember. It was sent from the biggest city that they... big city that they made it. They didn't make it in our town where we lived. Because I remember having... we had a neighbor there who had... a few sons and a husband that used to drink, and she would give me money, and she asked me to go and get some of that vodka, wherever it was sold, and then she would give me some of the vodka. When I got back, she gave me some of the vodka because I went to get it.
Was it illegal to buy it?
No, it was legal to buy it. See, vodka that was sealed.
Mm-hmm.
It was sealed.
Yes.
Okay. You see, like, I couldn't drink on the day if I wanted, because it was sealed. That was legal, because it came from some big factory that they made it.
Mm-hmm.
But the imitation, maybe, I think some of the poor people made something out of some, I don't know what they made out of.
Were there bars where people went to drink, or did you drink
at
home?
Not in our cities. They drink in the houses. It was very inexpensive. I remember 7 copies. It was about it that I used to buy for them.
Did women drink as well as men?
Not drunk, no. They didn't get drunk unless... I remember when we'd get company, my mother would buy sometimes a small bottle of that vodka. But women would drink a little bit, just tiny little bit. Or dip something in it, piece of bread. But it wasn't the Jewish people that drank. Jewish people would drink it at the table, as a treat. Mm-hmm. But they were professional drunkards that didn't do any work or couldn't get work.
And they weren't Jewish?
Well, Jewish people, I don't want to defend the Jews.